Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Song of Solomon 8:7. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be commended. Think about that as you're going through your day today, and welcome to the program. Today on the program, I don't know if you've heard about this, it's been talked twice about a possible Wham reunion. Yes, sir. Us Wham fans, you know. Wham Bam, Thank You, Ma'am fans. That's what we're called. I don't know. Ever since being called Deadheads, I always come up with some stupid name for the fan of any band. Also, are they going to add more dates to the 50th anniversary reunion of the Grateful Dead? There's been talk about it. I don't know. It's just going to be one big chaos if they do, because you're going to have 85 million people trying to get one ticket. You know, for every one seat, there's going to be about 50 million people trying to get a ticket. Then they're all going to bitch and complain even more. You know, just put it on, like, the internet or something for us all to watch and go from there. The Premier League table. All top four teams won, and the league pretty much is in a standstill. You know, second through fourth, still 1 point apart. My thoughts on the games this weekend and what went on. Also, is Ted Cruz electable? I'll get into that. And a lot of things, I don't know, a lot of things with some Democrats that I want to talk about. And there was a thing on News in Kalamazoo where supposedly, like, Samsung and some of these other smart TVs, the government can listen in and all this stuff, and I wonder if it's true. I'll get into that. And a cologne from a fast food restaurant. That and more. The conversation starts right now. So welcome, everyone, to a wonderful, beautiful winter. We had snow, and it was spring. So I feel like I'm back in Vermont. I mean, I miss Vermont. I do. That's beautiful. But I expect up there to be able to have snow maybe in May. Who knows? But not in Indiana. I just want to get into something that's been bugging me, because people have this belief for some reason that, well, just wait till we get a Republican or someone else in the White House and you're not going to be going off on them. You're only going off on Obama, because he's black and dead. I'm like, okay. He's carbon Asian like Tiger Woods. His mother was white. So I can claim him just as much as you can. And let me tell you something. I really didn't care for Bush. I'm one of these people that I'm one of these people that now a lot of people are starting to get to like the way I always have been. I'm picking the lesser of the two evils. Both are going to bleat me up the butt. Who's going to do it the least? Who's got the tiniest little, you know what, so it don't hurt? You know, who's going to screw me the least? They're all crooks. They're all criminals. Except for maybe Mike Lee and Ted Cruz, you know, and even they have probably done stuff that, if I was to do it, would be put in prison. I mean, seriously. Oh, but, you know, we had to have, since we hate Obama, we had to have been huge Bush lovers and thought he was God's, you know, he wasn't Jesus Christ, neither was Obama. There's one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, that's who I worship, you know. I just don't, I get so frustrated when people go, you just don't do, okay? You know, Ronald Reagan had an assassination attempt when he was on a golf course. Nope, can't play golf again. Someone almost got killed, an innocent person. Obama keeps playing golf. They have, like, daily briefing meetings. He never hardly goes to them. That's not him saying it. That's other staffers have commented that he never goes. But it doesn't mean he doesn't do anything. He's done a lot to destroy this country, but how hard is it to sign a bill you've never read and you've never written? Pretty damn easy. Give me a piece of paper in a minute, I can probably sign my name 30 times. There would be 30 bills passed that I didn't write, that I didn't... Oh, yeah, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. It's the double standard that I'm tired of, and a lot of my friends are. I was talking to... It's been like a while since I got to talk to him, but Tuesday night, George called me, a good friend of mine. And we were talking, and I'm just fed up with the double standard in general. You know, I've known people that have lost friendships because you disagree with Obama, you have to be racist. One of my friends got to the point now where he just laughs and just makes like raspberries whenever I make a comment, because he knows I'm not racist, but that's all he knows is you disagree with Obama, you're racist, and he knows I'm not. He knows I would take a bullet for him. But anywho, I just get frustrated, stuff like that. And I just had to vent on that, get that out of the way. But as we move on, folks, I'm going to switch subjects for a little bit because how would you like to wake me up before you go live? Will Wham get back together? Will George and Michael back on the stage? It was rumored in 2012 in interviews, and now in 2014, this past July, there was talk of it for 2015. It'd probably be like one reunion tour. They wouldn't be getting back together. It'd just play. I doubt there'd be any new music or anything. And he was quoted as saying that was one of the biggest mistakes he ever did, was break up Wham and all this. And I'm like, well, I didn't really like George Michael. I liked Wham, you know. The music, if anything, if I was not anything, I'd listen to Wham other than George Michael's, but I don't know if it's actually going to come to fruition or not. And if it does, you know, it's probably going to be ridiculously, like, $400 for lawn seats. Pavilion seating will be $700, you know, some ridiculous, you know, ticket price crap, just so they can try to recoup money that they haven't made because they haven't been doing much forever. Maybe they have, I don't know. And someone can call in and be like, well, believe it or not, George Michaels, he has a record company and he has like 25 bands he signed and he works, okay. Just in musically, you never really hear about him. Same thing with the Grateful Dead, they've considered because of the $100,000 people, the whole BS with the reunion tour that they're doing in Chicago, that they're planning on adding more dates, and they need to just make that concert accessible so that we can watch it and do one big hoorah and say goodbye. They don't owe us anything. They really don't. You know? It's 50 years. They're up there. They can't keep going and touring. And they need to do it because they want to do it, not because they feel obligated. You know, they don't, like I've said before, they don't really owe us anything. It's just, I thought it was a neat idea, and it's just sad that probably if you didn't live in California, you probably couldn't get a ticket because they got bombarded with probably way more envelopes than they had seats. There's probably like, in that mail order thing, there was probably like a 300 people wanting a ticket for each seat that was available. Just one of those things that I've seen them, so it's not that big of a deal. You know, I saw them when they had Jerry. And not Jerry Lewis, either. That'd been cool if he was one of the piano players. You know, after Brett Midland, Bruce Hornsby, Vance Womack, and Jerry Lewis. That'd been cool. That could happen. But, wow, I think you would have been more slid of the wham if it was actually going to happen. So since it's, you know, I don't think it'll happen, but who knows? Who knows? I mean, I think at some point they might come back and do something. You know, whether it's a music awards and they come out and they do an old song or something. You know, I think they need to do something because they've been in talks. So, enough about that. I want to move on to something. I don't know if you've ever heard of this fast food company. I mean, it's a fairly old one, but Burger King? Heard them? Well, you will have now, because in Japan, and I think it's just in Japan right now, they're going to start selling a Whopper cologne to make you smell like a Whopper. My girl will eat a burger as good as anybody, but she don't want me smelling like no Whopper. She don't. I really think it's a big marketing ploy. Because really, what have you heard? The last real big thing I heard was when Hudson Foods had E. coli and Burger King was looking for a person to supply them with beef for their patties because they stopped selling all the meat, all the... So they really haven't had much publicity, and now that they're not second behind McDonald's anymore, they got to do something to get some publicity, get their name out there. Because I'm sure... And then they might make a couple bucks because people are going to say, hey, I want to buy some of that because it may not be around that long. Because, you know what? Because I've known people that did that saved bottles of the Pepsi Clear because someday it might be valuable. You know, because some idiot will end up paying whatever some dumbass wants to sell it for. You know, down the road, hell, you might be able to get $70 for a bottle. But then, of course, everyone's probably going to save a bottle to think it's going to be worth, and then it's not because everyone saved one. You know? It's like the printing of money. You know, why are the old baseball cards worth so much? Because there aren't that many of them out there, and they tore them up and spit them out and played with them. And that's why the baseball cards of the 50s and 40s are way more valuable than the ones of the 70s and 80s. Because they started to mass produce them. They didn't. It wasn't like if you had a Mark McGwire rookie, they were rare and hard to find. Wow. Burger King cologne. Very interesting. Now, is it going to be edible? Are you going to be able to like lick it off the person? You smell like a Whopper. I mean, to me, that's. To me, I don't want to smell like that even when I come out of a restaurant. I don't want to smell like the food I just ate. That's me. Wow. But it's getting people talking. See, I'm even talking about it. I think it really is a freaking marketing ploy. Who cares if it works? You're going to get everyone talking about it, and you're going to get Burger King's name out there because it's going to be free advertising because I guarantee every talk show late night is going to make fun of it. And it's not like you have to pay them to advertise when they do their stand-ups. But enough about that, folks. As we move on, where there's supposedly evidence that some smart TVs, including like Samsung's, you can actually have the government can actually listen to you. So you tell Obama what you think in those things. Now I do want to turn it on. I don't know. You know, until you can actually prove, you know, I'm sure the government's been able to listen to your telephone conversations and everything for years. Nothing new. It's only via the TV, smart TV or something. You know, I'm sure they've been able to listen to your cell phone conversations and all that for years. So that's nothing new. You know, but it just makes you wonder, you know, can they, you know, the more we get technological, I mean, it's dumbing us down really because, like, you got to have a period where you say, okay, There's no computers. I'm sorry. You're going to take a piece of paper and a pencil in school and you're going to learn to write. Because I know people that can text a mile a minute that they can't write to save their lives hardly. And I've said this, it's been a while since I've said this, but if you can't read cursive, how can you read the original Constitution? It's like a foreign language. And that's where we're at. Everyone's all like 2 + 2 = what? They make it so I couldn't figure out how they do this new math. I would have to have a calculator. And it's sad that we're getting to that point in our lives where the kids can't do anything. You know, unless they got like a calculator. And then, you know, they live on them. They can be sitting right next to each other and text each other. Now, me and my girl do that just for the fun of it, you know, like silly stickers and stuff. But they're not like, you know, I turn to her and say, hey, how you doing? Hi. You know, I talk. You know, I just, but it's funny because there's a girl I work with and she's a great lady. And she's like, you got to see this. I'm like, what? She showed me her, because I guess, see, when I was in school, you went to prom your senior year. She goes to a school named Seeger, and I guess they have like a junior senior prom because they only have like 96 seniors. In their whole school, so like they have junior senior prom, and you can go if you're, so you can go as a freshman if you're asked by a junior senior. And well, you probably could have did that when I was in high school, as long as you were asked, you could have went. But you know, most of us just went one time our senior year. And she's like, oh yeah, look at this dress I'm getting, you know, because I kind of just, this is my last one, da da da. Like, and she told me how much she paid, like $600. I'm like, my girl's wedding dress isn't even that much. I'm getting new shoes because, well, see, the one dress I wore, the couple dresses I wore were like $50, $100, and the shoes, I just wore the same shoes. And I'm like, and this one girl goes, I went to my prom and I didn't even spend half that. And, you know, we had dinner here and cooked food. And, you know, one group, they had a cookout. I remember one group came in like a limousine, and it was like so cool. I came in 1928, my way forward to my prom, and you know, and like this girl came in like a Duesenberg or something, and they had the video. Well, you kind of came here in a special way. I'm like, well, so did I, but I didn't get recognized. You know, whatever. But you know, she knew the person that was doing the filming of the school over there. To help me, I'm like, thank God. But then I'm in the video like 10 times. I'm like, Lord, help me. But they did a little video of it. But I couldn't imagine going 3 or 4 times, especially spending that much for a prom dress. Because, and the reason why I bring this up is so many people are out of touch with society. And just, you know, but at least she understands where the money comes from. She works and knows, okay, you got to earn it. You know, don't grow on trees. But one of the things I'm getting at is, you know, it's about love. You know, I've done $50,000 weddings. I've done weddings that, I've done rehearsal dinners that spent more than we're going to spend in our wedding. And, you know, I've done $50,000 weddings that, by the next day, I want to, this bleep, the bleep, and bleep, the bleep, and bleep, and bleep. I want it. I'm annulling it. This is. Ooh. Hmm. Gee. Wow. I'd hate to be those parents. Hey, you're going to Vegas next time, okay? You're going to go to one of those vending machines at the airport, and that's where you're getting married. I couldn't imagine spending 50 grand. And then, I don't know. If it's about love, it's all that matters. You know? And to spend $600 on a prom dress, I don't see it. I don't get it. Maybe I'm a fuddy daddy. Old fuddy daddy. But I don't know. I just don't get it. But then, again, you know, at least she is one of the few people that understands where money comes from. So you have to earn it. And that's because, I mean, a lot of people don't want to work. But then there's a lot where there's not an incentive. But what I think one of the big problems is, and I may be wrong, but then you see, like, I'm actually trying to figure out how I can become an illegal so I can get all the benefits. My mom went down to the Social Security office. You may not believe what foreign exchange students that go to, like, Purdue, they get, like, a food stamp card and it has money on it that they get from the government so that they can have subsidies so that they can buy food and things. I'm like, and that same person's probably one of them that's driving around in his parents' BMW. You know, if you're coming, I mean, there are some people that they're pretty students that they're living pretty nice. There's a girl I know that works at an apartment complex, and some of the people that are there are foreign exchange people, and she said, you'll not believe what they leave when they go. They can't take any of that stuff back, and they'll leave. There'll be a Mac in the room, a 34-inch flat-screen TV, and after like a month, when it's not claimed, they keep it. And I don't know if they can sell them or if they just keep them themselves or what, but she goes, it's amazing what people leave. And I guarantee you the same people that have all that stuff are getting the food stamp thing or whatever for, like, the government gives for, like, foreign exchange students. And so I want to sign up to be an illegal so I can get all them damn benefits. Because it's sad when, you know, a vet is crapped on, but, oh, illegals, oh, we got to help them out. Show me where that's just, please. I would love to know where we're crapping on a vet who's fought for our freedoms is less important than an illegal. But like I was talking to George, I said, I honestly think that they want us to rebel so that when we rebel, guess what? We have to declare a state of emergency. I'm going to stay in the White House. And we're going to stop until this civil war ends. I've got to stay in the power. I can honestly see Obama trying to do something to stay in the White House beyond his term. Will he do that? I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes or no. I'm not going to be surprised if it happens. You know, I'm not surprised 9/11 happened. You know, when you see all these vans full of explosives that get run into a building and kill all these people. But, you know, we wouldn't have ISIS if it was for George Bush. We wouldn't have, you know, they were, get off George Bush already. He didn't do 90% of what's going on. And if you really look into the history, there is very strong evidence that Bill Clinton had the opportunity to take out Bin Laden. But Obama doesn't want to be seen. Democrats don't want to be seen as having to go to war. They'll let it get so bad that then the Republican has to do something. And then, well, he went to war. Well, why didn't Obama go to war? Whatever. They'll make up anything they can. They'll make up any BS they can. I'm just glad that not many people watch the news because they're trying to push this race card. Most people aren't seeing it. You know, is Ted Cruz electable? I don't know. Because, I mean, because most of the people that came out and voted for, like, Obama, they don't know anything. Ted Cruz is going to be someone that's going to be voted upon by someone that follows and understands, you know. I mean, do we have to get someone that's an independent or a conservative that's considered like a cool, but then like a cool dude like Obama? Because the problem I see here, going back to double standard, they will find a parking ticket and they will blow it up to be some huge thing. They'll find anything they can to try to discredit any Republican. You know, you really think that a Republican can get away with doing NCAA picks? This is who I'm picking. No. How this country's falling apart. Like I've said, it's been a while since I've said this, but if everything that Obama has done was done by a Republican, you wouldn't be kissing his butt. You'd be going off about how for three quarters of his presidency, he had $4 a gallon gas. Now that the gas is down to like $2, oh, well, you're not bitching about Obama for lowering the gas price. Well, show me how Obama lowered the gas price. Show me how he because the gas price went from like $4 something a gallon when Bush was in office down to $1.86, I think was the national average in between him and Obama. And then when Obama took over, it went right back up to $4. A fact. Look it up. How can he lower it if it was lower when it was $1.86, I think, or $1.87 average a gallon when he took office? How can he be responsible for lowering it when it went back up? They don't have the say in the gas price. They don't. All this crap that these, well, you know, like two wrongs don't make a right. If you're going to say, well, look at what George Bush did, I'm like, well, does it make it? It wasn't right. You know? Is Ted Cruz electable? I think he, from a conservative standpoint, yes. But how will he cross the aisle to get people that don't watch politics, that get their news from Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, to vote for him? That's the issue. It's half the people that voted for Obama. Who'd you vote for? I vote for Barack Obama. Well, who's his running mate? John McCain. So what do you think Barack Obama took Sarah Palin as his running mate? Well, I think, you know, people are just mad because, you know, she's a woman. You know, she'll do a great job as vice president. Well, writing Sarah Palin was not Barack Obama's running mate. They interviewed hundreds of people that didn't even know anything. Like, who's Nancy Pelosi? Who's Harry Reid? But they voted for Barack Obama because he's black and they're black. Half those people probably couldn't tell you that Barack Obama's mother was white. BS notion that, oh, you just don't like Barack Obama because you're a racist black guy. It's racist to think that only whites can be racist. End of story. You know, Ted Cruz is going to have to get the people. And first of all, you got to find a way for someone like him to get the underage voter, the person that can't vote. That's like, you know, if I could vote, I'd vote for Ted Cruz. Yeah, he's the cool guy. You know, because I know so many people that if they could have voted, they'd have voted for Barack Obama. He's like Jesus Christ. And he's like the cool dude. I highly doubt you follow the news. I highly doubt you know anything that's going on in this world. And if they do, it's because they probably watch the Communist News Network that their mom has on, and all they do is just say, this is what the Republicans say, this is what the Democrats say. You know? And it's just ridiculous because unless he gets that other, because how is he going to get 51% of votes? If he doesn't cross the aisle and get those people that, because as you've seen in our history, it goes back and forth usually Republican Democrat, Republican Democrat, and you know what's happening? Nothing's really changing. They get a, well, look at this Republican said this. So they vote that way, and then like, well, I don't think it did any, because there's a Sears Tower. That's an end result. We're all a Boeing 747 headed straight for it. You have, okay, pick Mitt Romney. Pick John McCain. Pick John Boehner. Pick Lindsey Graham. Nancy Pelosi. Pick Harry Reid. Pick Obama. Pick Biden. Which one of those do you think would kick it out of autopilot and steer us clear of slamming into the Sears Tower and killing every American that's on that plane? And the hypothetical plane. What you don't realize, folks, and most people don't, is none of them would. Some of them would get us there faster, but they're all going to lead us to the same place, and that's what people don't realize. They vote Republican because they're fed up with the way this Democrat ran the country. The way this guy's driving the car. And they vote this Republican in, and they don't like the way he's driving the car. So they vote a Democrat in. They don't like the way he's driving the car, so then they vote a Republican in. But what they don't realize is that car is going in the same direction. It's not really changing. One's just going faster than the other. You know, and that's what people got to realize and wake up. And I guess that's why someone asked me one time, so how did you get started? How do you, this? I mean, because I am busy and a one-armed paper hanger with a social problem. Thank you, Larry Cates, for that. He always used to, he had all these funny quotes like, you're as helpful as a sump pump in the desert. And I guess a lot of my stuff, I just felt led to do this. I just, like, someone's got to do something. Someone's got to educate somehow and just wake people up. Yeah, Ted Cruz would be a Band-Aid more than a knife. But still, you know, he's not going to be perfect. I'm not going to kiss his butt if he became president. If he does something I disagree with, I'm going to say, wait a minute here. You know? Liberals don't get that we would criticize a Republican. There's so many people think that, I told one person, again, I'm like, I'm not a Republican, dude. I'm an independent. And they don't get it. They just have this, you know, but like in Indianapolis, for those of you who are not from Indiana, and they had these Mexicans that were claiming all these illegals. Okay, here's 20 kids that were claimed, and they found out on like 6 tax forms, like 3 kids were claimed on these 6 different tax forms. And they got tax returns. They got like, some of them were getting like ridiculous tax returns, and they were claiming all these kids. And some of them were being claimed 6 times. And some of them were in Mexico and never even lived in the States. And this one tax preparer was red flagging these, saying these are fraudulent. Check into them. I mean, that's why I seriously want to change my name to Juan Gonzalez Martinez Menendez. That way I can make sure I can, now I can just put down some Mexican names and claim all these kids. I'd have like a, well, I wonder how much, see, I would only claim like 3. That way it's believable. I wouldn't go like 200 or 300 people, but I'd do like 3 or 4. You know, why not? Why not? I'm born in America and I can't get all these freebies. I mean, where does the vet get help? When do we help the veterans? When do we help the people that were born here? Oh no, we gotta get all these illegals. And it doesn't matter where they come from, they gotta get help. What about our own people? I cannot tell you how many times I go to Indianapolis and the homeless vets out there. And you know, I guarantee an illegal can get the top surgeon in the world, but a vet, no, we can't. And one thing I want to say about this is there was a story about somebody, a vet that lost his, someone stole his wheelchair, and the police a week later were able to get one. And I want you to do something for me. I don't care if you've ever used them before or not. Please support Overstock.com. Please support Overstock.com. They donated a $1,800 wheelchair to a vet who had his stolen, and the police were able to give it to him. And this one, two of the police officers were in tears. They're like, "This is, I'll never forget this. This is why I do what I do. My job is not all negative." And to give this veteran a wheelchair means the world to me. And that's, I don't make a lot of money where I work. I really don't. But I do what I do because I want to give back to people. You know, me and my girl, I'm in the process of helping her finish a GoFundMe page so we can get help with when we get married, so we can have, like, some furniture and a mattress and stuff, because we have nothing. And I hope, and I've put this on there, and it'll be up there when I do that, that when we get enough feet on the ground, I know I want to do this, and she's the same type of person. We want to give back and help someone else and pay it forward. I mean, there's many times I've gone to Starbucks and I've put $20 and say, hey, buy coffee as much as you can for the next couple of people with it, 4 or 5 or whatever. You know, use it whenever, use it when, if you think someone really deserves it. If a cop comes, if you want to hold on to it, and when a cop comes, you want to use it, go ahead, buy his coffee. Or if you see a guy at the vet, buy his coffee. You know, pay it forward. Give back. And that's what we got to do. We got to be there for each other in this country, you know. We gotta be there for us. You know, we have this obligation to be there for these people that don't even have a legal right to be here. Well, I am pissed off. I am trying to get a license and no one here speaks Spanish. Because I remember this guy said that one time I was at the license branch and this guy was, I'm like, can I help you? And he goes, this is bullcrap. There's no one here that can speak Spanish. And I'm like, and he literally had to talk to this person in English and then tell his buddy what she said in Spanish, and they had to go back and forth. He's like an interpreter. He goes, I shouldn't have to interpret. There should be someone here that speaks Spanish. I'm like, well, you know, last guy I knew, when I was in France, I was speaking French, or I wasn't speaking. And if I spoke, you know, I mean, if they knew another language, yeah. Like the guys that make crepes in the corners, the street corners, they get the job based on how many languages they can speak. I'm not saying don't learn Spanish or don't learn French or English or German or something, but when you come to this country, you should want to know English. You should want to, I will say what I can in English, you know, and fill in the blanks. Not, I've been here 15 years and don't know any English. That's wrong, you know, that's crapping on America. If you don't want to learn English, but you've been here that long. But that's where we are in this country. Who cares about the vet? Who cares about the people that made this country who it is? We got to care about these people that are coming here just to take it for what it's worth. And that's wrong. You know, he sneaks across the border and we give him millions of dollars, but someone that fought for our country, oh, who cares? Let him sit on the streets. You don't have to agree with the war that they went to. Like I've said this, I don't know if I said it on the program, but I have a friend that was in the Army, and that's what, you know, in the Marines especially, if we tell you to do something, you got to do it. And we relate it to war and combat, because if we tell you to do something, you're going to do it, lives can be lost. Because I was telling this girl, I said, my friend doesn't agree with the war in Iraq, but he's doing what he's told. And I'm like, I said, if his drill sergeant told him to kill you, he wouldn't even question, he'd just do it. Because that's what he's told. Because he was brought up in, you do what I tell you, or lives can be lost. If they say duck and you don't duck, a bullet can shoot right in the head. If they say duck, you can duck and shoot. I'm glad I did what he told me, because if I wouldn't have listened, bam, I wouldn't be here. You know, this has been a long rant, I know, but it's just, I get so frustrated when, you know, where are our priorities in this country? And I've said this before, what does a Democrat believe? What do they stand for? What does a Republican stand for? Yeah, next time someone says anything negative, like if you put up something about Ronald Reagan, say, well, what does your party stand for? I know what I stand for. I stand for freedom. I stand for in my country and to be able to live my life without government interference. You know, I don't shop at Walmart anymore because in Miami, I don't know, this has been very controversial, but in Miami, there were some students that went off that they couldn't have challah meat. It is meat that meets Sharia law. And they support Sharia law, and how can they not have that meat? And this one Walmart okayed, and now they have a section of meat that meets Sharia law. That's what we need in this country, a company that's going to bow down to Muslims and sell meat that meets Sharia law. And no, I'm not discriminating. I don't support any religion that makes women sister, okay? Just wait till women have to wear a veil and they can't be seen and they're treated like second-class citizens and they're just abused and raped and beaten. You know, a woman isn't equal to me. I don't support Sharia law where women are like gutter rats. Sorry. If Sharia law meant that women were praised and honored and treated like a queen, well, great. But it doesn't. And it's sort of like kosher beef, where they like slaughter the thing when it's still alive, and it's very gruesome. But I don't support Sharia law. I don't want it. And when there are places that, like, and there's a place in Texas where they're trying to make the place where they live have everyone that's there live under Sharia law. And I'm like, you're in America. We do not accept Sharia law as law. Well, you can't arrest me for beating my wife. I don't go by your rules. I go by Sharia law. Really? And they're trying to claim that they live under Sharia law. You can't arrest me for doing things that is legal under Sharia law, but under the United States laws, it's not. It's ridiculous. I never thought this. I'd see places in this country that want to live under Sharia law. But then why don't you go back to wherever you're from that where they live under Sharia law, where that is the law, and you can't and if you do something there, it's legal. Oh. You're just a white racist because you want them to go back to where they're from. Well, so you want someone that to live in this country that's going to do stuff to women and do stuff in general, that if he gets arrested, he's going to claim religious freedom because that's acceptable under Sharia law. Oh, I can beat the hell out of my wife. I can beat her. I can rape her. I can do whatever I want because it's okay under Sharia law. No, that's not acceptable. I mean, it's not being racist or discriminatory. I don't go to France to live by my rules. I go to France, okay, what is the rule here? I want to make sure that I don't chew gum and get arrested. If it's illegal, okay, I guess I'm not chewing gum. You know, if I can smoke outside, okay. But if I smoke in a restaurant or bar, I'm going to get arrested. Okay, and I know that. I'm in their country. I'm living by their rules, their laws. I don't go to another country to change their rules. So why are you going to come here and try to change my rules and my laws? And, oh, well, you can't arrest me for beating my wife to death. I live under Sharia law. And that's, it's just sad that stuff like that goes on in this country. I remember I was watching the cops, and this lady was called the cops, and because I don't know what's allowed in your country, but in this country you just can't hit women. And he was trying to claim, well, that's how it is in my country. It's just, you know, it's, I would be perfectly legal. You know, I'd probably be, it probably wouldn't be condoned because I didn't beat her up enough, you know, but it's legal where I'm from. You know, and he tried to use that claim. You know, and that's what it was in Texas. These people are trying to claim that they live under Sharia law and they have the legal right to do it because they don't live under American law. Like, you're an American, retard. Live by the laws that you're under. Now, pretty soon they'll try to have their own, like, Islamic reservation, like the Indians do. And, okay, when you come in here, you're under Sharia law, da da da, whatever, we'll try to some immunity. And then, of course, if you're against that, then you're racist. Anywho, time to move on, because that's enough of that. But I guess I just want you to think about what I said. You know? Where are the priorities in this country? Who are we putting first? Veterans or illegals? You know? Are we doing what we, you know? Just think about that. So I can tell you what we're putting first. Everyone else, because the Constitution doesn't say you're going to be discriminated against. It doesn't say that. But everything we're doing in this country is based on discrimination, because you can't do that because it's discriminating. You can't. So if they want to build a town that lives under Sharia law, we have to grant them that because that's discriminating if we don't allow that. Great, then I'm going to come up with my own religion that allows every illegal drug to be used. And, oh, well, see, this is my belief, this is my religion. You're discriminating. Now I'm allowed to use cocaine every day. Because if not, man, you're in America, live under American laws. Grow up and get over it. You want Sharia law, go back to your own, wherever, Afghanistan or whatever the heck. Just remember why we have freedom. Because of our forefathers and our veterans. Think of that. It doesn't have to be Veterans Day to say thank you. And to any of the vets out there listening, thank you so much for everything. I can't even begin to repay you for what you've done for this country. As we move on in sports for the last 10 minutes, folks, what a weekend. 48 seconds into the second half, and Steven Gerrard is throwing out with a red card for bleeding. I can see a yellow card with that, but really? He's just like, okay, here, you can have a captain's armband back because I'm out of game. But he, you know, he was on. He's like, yep, if you're going to give me a red card, he don't argue. He's brought up in the, you know, hey, what it is. You give me a red card, he respects the rest. And I respect him for that. I think it was a yellow card. You know, but I just, like, I was just on the computer doing stuff. I'm like, Steven Gerrard got red, what the heck? And I watched the replay. I'm like, dang. I'm like, yes, it's the final match with Liverpool and Manchester United with Steven Gerrard. He came back from injury. He's going to be out there. And I wonder if they're going to give him a break because he's going right from there to the LA Galaxy. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to play much this season or not, because the season's already started. My Red Bulls have been pretty damn good. So, and we don't got more Henry. Thierry Henry's not there anymore. It's going to be weird to see my team, the New York Red Bulls, without Thierry Henry. What a player. Oh, man, he was just, I love him. But a great Frenchman, great player. But we'll go on. I think we just need to get a coach that we can, a manager that we can keep. You know, I don't know why every, like, 2 years they get someone new. You know? If we won two MLS titles. I wonder if they, you know, if they can keep the manager. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is in New York. You know, the Premier League table, going back to the English Premier League, pretty much stayed the same, you know. Second, third, and fourth are still 1 point apart because they all won, you know. So Chelsea is still in the lead. Then you got Man City. Then you got Arsenal, and you got Manchester United. You know? So I think we can possibly get up to second place, you know, maybe third. Third or second, you know. And if Angel Di Maria, there's a possibility that he, if an opportunity comes up that and he wants to go, they're not going to be sad if he leaves, or they're not going to try to stop him. And I'm like, I want him. I would rather have, if it's between him and Mauro Fellaini, I want him gone. I don't really care for him. He hasn't done much. I mean, I don't think his position on the pitch is where he's best, you know? He's done great at other football clubs he's been at, but he's just not done anything enough, in my opinion, to keep him. Nothing against him. Nothing against, you know, it is what it is. You know, they keep him, they keep him. But, I mean, I really think they're starting to come together and starting to get it together and start to, okay, you jump, I jump. That to where they're starting to pass the ball and not have to know where the other person is. They can just pass the ball without saying a word, and they know he's going to be right here, you know. And, you know, look at the first time the Miami Heat had LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and all those guys. It took them a year to really learn to play together. What they do, they were unstoppable. I don't like LeBron James as a person. Basketball player, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. Michael Jordan, I like as a player and as a person. LeBron James, he's a great basketball player, but so is Dwayne Wade. But the outside that, they're not, I don't know, they're just a-holes in my opinion. But that's just my opinion, you know. And Manchester United, they're, I think, look out. Next year, look out, because they're really starting to play together and gel together. And they seriously need to get, like, one big house, and they all live in this house. And they all need to, okay, they need to know that, okay, I can put my hand there with a piece of toilet paper, no one to wipe. You know, you need to know that person that well. You need to know that, okay, at this exact moment, I'm going to put the bottle here, and his hand's going to be there to collect the shampoo. And then at this exact moment, his other hand's going to be ready for the conditioner. And they need to treat each other like bubblegum. By the end of the game, they need to know what each other's flavor is. You know? And they're starting to click. And I think that's what's going to be the key. And I don't, and Van Gaal can help with that some, but some of it they have to do and earn, you know. And it's a good thing. And I think once, you know, but it's been a great season. Because it's not been dominant. I mean, as the points in the Premier League table show you, it's not like, okay, you know, it's not like Manchester United's old days when they go into like Hull City and like 5-0. You know, it's not if they win, it's by how much, you know. It's like if Hull City scores a goal, it's like a miracle. It's been 75 games since someone has scored at Old Trafford. Will Steven Gerrard or anyone at Liverpool be able to get a ball past Van de Sar? You know. So, it's coming to an end, and I love football season. That's what's kind of funny, because I kind of get it year-round, because then the MLS is going right now, and the only thing is it's so hard to find the Red Bulls, and a lot of times when they're playing like LA Galaxy, and it's like a 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock start, because it's 8 o'clock their time, but it's 11 o'clock here. And just like, ugh. And then by the time the game's over, it's like 1:30 in the morning. Like, half the times, usually I wake up and fall asleep on the couch. Like, I just need to have the thing on the recorder button. You know, there's a recorder thing, so I can just record the game and watch it in the morning. But then I don't know what's worse, that or some of the Premier League games that start at like 7 a.m. It's like, ugh. And you're up at 6:30 to see the previews and all that. But it's just, I don't know, I just love football. It's just a great sport. And one thing I've noticed is you don't really have the scandals in, like, football as much as you do in the NFL, where you have people over here where, you know, this guy's accused of drugging all these women and raping them, and, you know, this guy beat his wife and all this, and, you know. And I guess maybe if it happens, it's not talked about. But for the most part, but I guess a lot of those people in the Premier League, especially, they're looked up to, and they understand that they're held to a higher standard because kids look up to them. I mean, there was a scandal with Wayne Rooney where he's supposedly, you know, calling these, like, you know, having, like, these, calling these, like, 800 numbers with, like, you know, sex lines or whatever, you know, stuff. But that's about the extent of that you really hear about, because they understand that they're a role model. That, you know, that, okay, you may have a kid that joins Manchester United at 9 that's going to be in the academy and stuff and go through and train. So, like I always tell people, there are fewer incidents and injuries in rugby than there are in actually the NFL. They need to look at that and wonder, why are there fewer injuries in the NFL? About 60 seconds left. But if the NFL has more injuries, more problems than rugby, they need to look into that. Probably because there's no safety nets. And if they get hit in the head, ouch, we're not going to do that. And that's what's wrong with this country, I believe, because we have too many dang safety nets. You know, we're too big to fail. You know, so I'm going to thank everyone for tuning in. It's about 30 minutes left. But just think about that. Think about, in life, where are your priorities? Who do you care about? Do you care about vets? Do you care about, what do you care about? Put your passion in it and go for it. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next week, God bless you all and have a great day. Goodbye and take care.